Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. Our guest this evening is Michael Jordan from Skyview Wines and Spirits. As you will hear, he has a fascinating life story. And as you will hear, he has an incredible knowledge of wines, food pairings, and he presents all that with a great sense of humor. Good evening, Michael.
Hey. Good evening, Chaim. Good evening, everybody. How are you?
All right. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of background with Michael. I first met him last year on the night of the first Seder at the Raleigh Hotel. I was just about to open a bottle of wine when Michael comes up and grabs the bottle to see what it is I'm having. Now, if you've seen his picture, he does not look like your average Ashkenazi. In fact, he looked very Latino, and I was a little bit worried until I saw that he was actually wearing a yarmulke. He was wearing a kippah. Since then, we became rather good friends, but I'm going to let Michael tell you about his story. Michael?
Hi, how are you? So my life story is I was born in Honduras. Where I was born is unknown. I was brought to Tegucigalpa. And shortly afterwards, I was adopted by my parents, Karen and Daniel. And I have a little sister. I have a kid sister named Deborah, who is one of my best friends. And shortly after, you know, as I grew up, I got into wines at the age of 19 from a really good friend named Alana. And that's where, you know, it started. And then I started looking for jobs at wine stores, and nobody would hire me because I couldn't work on Shabbos. So I finally got a really good place called Gotham Wines, which was on 94th and Broadway. And I worked there for about 2 years.
With Costas.
Yes, with Costas. He was my mentor, and along the line, I met some other mentors. A brilliant guy named Steve Feuerstein. He's been my mentor, and I feel not obligated, but I feel like such an honor to mention the people who have brought me into the wine world. So, you know, Costas was one. Steve Feuerstein was another. I would like to put Hal Tiernan in it as a respect to those people who, you know, helped me along the way. And, you know, that's my story. I became more observant after my father passed away. To honor him, and I love being Jewish. I love every aspect. I love the spirituality of it. I love the tradition of it. Even though I don't do certain things, I like to, you know, I feel that I can freely express myself the way I want to. And that, you know, that is pretty much, you know, who I am.
Just one question.
Yeah,
I
sure.
Noticed that your original ancestry is the Mayan Indians.
Yes.
Right.
Mayan, Native American, and Honduran.
Right. So my question is, how do you reconcile that tradition with the Jewish tradition?
How do I do that? I mean, I don't know that much of, you know, I don't know what the Mayans observed. I mean, I feel fully Jewish. I just, the way I present myself as being Mayan is probably growing my hair and, you know, having like a couple earrings. And because in the Torah, it doesn't say that you can't have earrings. It's a matter of, you know, with the golden calf, when everybody took off the earrings and made the golden calf, it doesn't say halachically that you can't have a hearing. The long hair, I could see where they're coming from Samson and Delilah and how he was a Nazarite. I can understand that. To me,
yeah, but he did not drink wine.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm not a Nazarite, so I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say to that. I'm not going to even question you on that. But I love Lorne. I really do. I think I love the sociability about it. I like when my customers come up to me and say, oh, this is a really good bottle of wine. And sometimes I don't even remember what I gave them. I work with a lot of people. I'm what you call the wine store grunt. I know where everything is. I'm behind the scenes. I'm lifting cases. I'm doing stocking inventory. Last night I worked until 2. So, I mean, I love my job. I really do. I love every aspect, whether it's giving a person a bottle of wine or pouring it, like the time we were at the Raleigh. Remember when I poured you the Agora Syrah?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Syrah,
in fact, last year we were almost competing who had the better wines.
You brought some really good stuff. I think you brought the Har Sinai dessert wine. I love that.
Right.
That's a great bottle of wine. And I saw on your webpage that you tasted the new Agora Liam. So those two wines
right.
are very different from each other, and that's something I really respect.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the Liam threw me a curve in its finish. It has a subtle, salty taste, which I guess is the reason for the name Liam to the sea.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know the Liam meant the sea, but wow. Okay. I learn something new every day. I like that. But I think last year's vintage was very, like, that last year's vintage, 2010, it's more of a Syrah base. This Syrah, this Liam, this new vintage was more Mourvèdre base. You taste the Mourvèdre.
Right.
It's more
right.
dominant.
Right.
And
right.
that's something, another thing, what I love about wine. I don't think wine should be always, what's the word I'm looking for? Always stable. They're always the same. You know, you always have perfection. I mean, there's certain wineries that will stick with the same formula and they don't change. And when you taste
right.
it, it's like, ah. So that Liam, the Agour, it really, you know, curved up. And I was like, wow, okay. I like both vintages. You know, but it's something different. I think that's very important for the
What
person,
I find interesting
you know.
About Agour is when I first tasted Agour at one of the wine shows about 3 years ago, I was not exactly impressed. When I tasted Agour again now, including the Liam, it was hard to believe this was the same winery. They have come miles and miles from where they first started.
They also have a really good cab. I think I poured you that last year, too, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And no, one thing what I loved about you is, remember, you actually poured the Tour de cab, and I'm like, you have the Tour de cab. That's such a great cab.
Yes,
you had the
09. Superb wine, superb. In fact, I used it at one of my events that we did a food and wine pairing at the French restaurant. And the Tura disappeared almost as soon as I poured it. People loved
it. I'm sorry, what was that?
The
Tura wine
disappeared almost as soon as we poured it. People loved it.
Yeah, it's an excellent bottle of wine.
Another
really
great wine that is actually smaller than the usual bottle, because it's an expensive wine, but well worth the money, that I also loved a lot, is a dessert wine, Quintessence.
Like essence?
It's almost like drinking honey. It tastes so honey-like.
No, which dessert wine was this?
Quintessence.
Quintessence? I've never heard of it. actually, to be honest with you. It sounds interesting. Is it white?
It is a wine. In fact, I have a bottle right here. I have a Eden Quintessence from the Chevron Heights Winery, 2007.
Okay.
Incredible wine. Okay. And it's, instead of 750 cc's, it's a smaller bottle. It's a 375.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Again, it's an incredible wine. But let me ask one question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's look at the traditional foods on the Seder. How would you pair them?
Oh, sure. Are we dealing with the first two cups and the matzah, the matzah and, everything else
right.
that goes to
well,
it? Or are we talking about the actual meal?
Let's understand one thing. For the four cups, obviously we don't want any heavy wines. Because people will
you want a nice light. You want a nice
you light.
You want
a nice light wine that has leaves a decent taste.
Me personally, if I were to do a wine for the first two cups and to integrate it with the food pairing, I would do like a Carignan. I would do a Petit Sirah, a lighter Merlot, even a lighter Cab, because you do want that full flavor of the wine, and you don't want to, drink something that's very heavy, because by the end of the night, you're not going to even you're not going to be able to drink a full body, your last two cups. That's what I would recommend. I would recommend, actually, the Baked El Carignan. I think that's a great bottle of wine, especially for the first two cups. Usually at my Seder table or at a hotel, I open like four bottles because what I like about doing that is I get to go around certain tables and I get to offer them wine and see if they like it. I feel like I need to get people into different wines, and that is why. I came over to you. I was like, "Here, try this." And obviously, you have great taste because you had those ones. And I'm like, "Wow, all right, someone actually understands wine." So there you go.
Actually, for the four cups on the first night, I plan to have a Betel Cliffview Carignan 2013. What do you think of that?
No, I love it. I do highly recommend it. I would also recommend the Carmel Petit Sirah. I mean, they're inexpensive and they're easy drinking. And you want that kind of light, medium body. You don't want something to be overpowerful. And if you're going to do something a little bit more powerful, you could do the L'Amour Côte d'Or. It's a really nice bottle of wine.
For the second night, I was thinking probably something like a Galil Mountain Barbera.
For the second night, what exactly? I mean, the Galil Barbera, it's a really nice wine. I just think it'll be better with risotto or spaghetti and meatballs. Barbera, I would do something like if you're having matzo pizza, then I would say go with the Barbera. I would really think that you would want to stick with something that's not exotic. You know what? If you want to do something exotic, do the Ramat Naftali Barbera. It's actually a really good Barbera if you actually understand, a good Barbera.
Probably the Ramat Naftali Barbera, which I reviewed, is I think it's a little bit heavy for the four cups.
I think the second cup, because you're getting into the preparation of the meal wine, you can do that. You can get into it. If you want to do something, that's what I usually do at my Shabbos dinner. I usually have a jug. If I have people over, I take two bottles of the same thing and pour it into the jug, and I throw it around. That's what I would recommend people to do, is if you have a jug at home, take two bottles of light-bodied wine and put it right in and let it go around. At the second cup, when you make kiddush and you're about to eat, go for that heavy-bodied wine. Because you're going to start yourself with another bottle of wine anyway. So you might as well do it on that. And that will be my recommendation.
And during the other nights, what would you pair, for example, with a brisket?
A brisket? I would do a nice Merlot or Syrah. I would, two of Syrah makes a great Syrah, if you can find it, because right now I'm out of it. The Gigal Syrah, which is $12.95, it's a great bottle of Syrah. It really is. And when I first tasted it, I was in heaven. I really was. That captured the essence of Syrah. The Tulip Syrah, too. If you can splurge the money, I would also recommend the Shiraz Syrah. This Syrah is actually 98% Syrah and 2% Viognier. So it's very supple. It's very silky.
Sounds like a very interesting combination.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big Syrah drinker, and that's what I would recommend for a brisket. And for Merlot, I would do a Tulip. Tulip has a great Merlot. Tuba. That's what I would recommend. If you're going in for a really nice, hearty steak, I recommend fully the Borgo Real Barolo. That's one of my new favorites.
And yes, the Borgo Real Barolo is an incredible wine. I always wondered when we would get a kosher world, and Borgo Real finally brought it to the States.
In the past, there were two other Barolos. Barnura had one.
They're Barolos?
Before Borgo Real, there was two other Barolos. During my time in Gotham, when I first started working there in 2005, there was a Rashi Barolo. Now, between all three Barolos, I never had the Barnura at the time of drinking it, because it was it was after my time at Gotham. I'm pretty sure that it was a great Barolo. The bottle is dead. It doesn't have any life going through it anymore. It's done after 10 years. I'm sure in its past it was a great Barolo. I have my faith in it. Now the Rashi Barolo, which was 1999 vintage. It was more New World style. It was just too much red fruit, and it didn't have what that earthiness that the Borgo Real has. Borgo Real has more body to it, and that is something that I've been loving for the longest time. So.
What about what would you have for a dessert?
Ooh, dessert! Oh, I was hoping you would ask for dessert wine.
Now remember the special problem that we have on Passover. The food in itself is rather heavy with all the starches. The food is also heavy. It's been heavy because of all the matzah. So we need something that still gives you a little bit of that delicious wine, refreshing flavor without being overly heavy.
When I was younger, my mom used to make, I think it was this nut cake, if I remember correctly. And I could see myself, if I were home and I were to have that nut cake, I would do like a nice sauternes, or even actually, believe it or not, the late harvest Sauvignon Blanc from Alfasi. It's $19.95. It's a little bit more on the lighter side, but it's an extremely good late harvest Sauvignon Blanc or the Baron Herzog late harvest Chenin Blanc. They really go really well with that kind of cake. As a cook, if you're doing like a fruit salad, if you want to add like a drop of, now they came out, as with the wines that I was pouring at the tasting, There's a lychee wine from Morad, and a grapefruit wine. There's a passion fruit. If you want to do something interesting, and it's right after dinner, you want to do a fruit salad. You can pour a little bit of passion fruit to mix it up. Give it, you know, get some of that nice passion fruit fruitiness into your fruit salad. Or if you're having a sorbet, because those ones are a little bit high concentrated on what they're made from, I would suggest pouring a dab on the sorbet to bring the sorbet to life. So if you're having lemon sorbet, do lychee. You know, maybe add a little bit of grapefruit if that, you know, if you love that grapefruit feel. And that's with chocolate cake. Do the pomegranate. It will taste so good. Now, if you really want to do like a heartier one, because I love my heartier ones, I would do the L26. It's a dessert wine. It's made from Grenache and Syrah, and I'm a big fan of both. I love all types of grapes, but Grenache and Syrah are my two up top favorites. And I like that abstract spininess that you get from Grenache. When we were at the wine tasting for Royal, they had the Flor de Primavera, and the gentleman was telling me how Grenache is a very feminine, masculine, I think it's a feminine wine, or masculine. It's too subtle, but there's certain people who make it more bigger, and I like that. I like feeling, you know, that pull. And that,
well, you realize that in ancient Greece, wine was a woman's drink. No male would be caught drinking wine. I guess the women taught us something. They taught us how to enjoy wine, after all. Now, let me ask you a different question. Since you've been in the wine business, can you tell us a little bit about how you have seen kosher wine evolve?
How has kosher wine have evolved? I think there is a lot of people getting into winemaking, and certain people have a love of it. Some people want to share something with people, with the public. That's how I think it really started to grow. And now everybody, because now the states, you know, before we grew up on Manischewitz, I don't know what you grew up on. I grew up on Ketum. Every week I would, you know, drink Ketum with my father and my mother.
My dad used to make wine in our basement, where I was not allowed for the first 15 years of my life. And his idea of wine was, well, first of all, he would, 3 weeks before Passover, he would bottle 450 bottles, out of which he would leave 365 for us, because in Uruguay, when I was growing up, living on the European model, the big meal of the day was lunch. And at lunch, you can't possibly sit down. It's very uncouth. It's not civilized to sit down without a bottle of vino. So I grew up on that extra sweet 21% extra sweet wine. Today, if I were to drink it, I think I would kill over.
And you grew up in Uruguay. That's where you grew
up? Uruguay,
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, you're lucky, you know. You actually had, you know, nothing bad on Manischewitz or Ketum. Just, you know,
When we came to this country in 1962, I found out that the choices were extra sweet and even sweeter. Starting with the old Shapiro, which the motto of Shapiro's wine used to be, our wine is so thick, you can cut it with a knife.
Wow. Oh, yes, I remember
imagine a winery today trying to have a motto like that.
Oh, God. So.
So now let's talk a little bit about what are some of the special buys, some of the great buys that you guys have over at Skyview.
Oh, I thought you would never ask. Okay. For your inexpensive wines, you know, wines that are And, you know, like I said, for your first two cups, you probably want to do something that's light body. If you want to try and do something for your second cup that's a lot heavier body, I'll give you that in a second. For your lighter body wines, I would do maybe, I would definitely do the Beniamino Carignan and put it against the Carmel or the Bait L. Me personally, I love the Bait L. Has a lot more body to it, and it's a great Carignan, and it's like, it's 1895, I would say.
That's not bad at all.
No, it isn't. It's a great Carignan. If you're looking for lower and something in price, I would do definitely the Carmel. The Carmel is from Chambrun, which is actually one of my favorite regions, because it speaks of ancient Sumeria. And since I was a kid, I've always had this thing about Sumeria. It just sounds well. So that's why I'm very big on Chambrun wines. I would do a Petite Syrah. And definitely the Carmel, because my coworker and one of my esteemed colleagues loves the bottle of wine, and I love it too. So I just want to put her in this conversation as well. Her name's Alana, but she's like totally the best. And let's see, a Merlot that's actually really good is the Tsuba, and that goes for $19.95. So, you know, within that said, you know, you want something that's a little bit more well-rounded. Actually, if people out there want to try something new, I would actually do rosé, actually, believe it or not. There are some really good rosés out there. One of my favorite rosés is actually the Goose Bay, a rosé. It's made from 100% Pinot Noir, and it's just a really good, well-rounded Pinot Noir rosé. You're not going to find any better. It's going to be about $24.95, I would say. And for, you know, something that's lower in price, that's even easier drinking, would be the Dalton. That's like $14.95. I'm trying to get rosé out there, because especially right before Pesach, because when you finally notice it's going to be summer, and you want that nice, refreshing feel of rosé. And that's what I really do think.
I am noticing in general that there are more rosés than I've ever seen before.
Yeah, rosé is coming back. Castel has one. Flam has one. Stéis Bonnea. Givaud. Givaud is another great winery. Their rosé is made from actually 100% Cabernet, and that is a really big, well-rounded Cabernet. And I would suggest someone picking a bottle of that. It's actually more on the mid-range. It's going to be about $36.95, but it's well worth it. I did a tasting at Riverfest, and a lot of people did like it. I just think it just needs a good push, and just to see it, you know, start going out will be, you know, great, because I really do have a lot of faith in rosé. A lot of people get it misconstrued or misconceived because of white Zinfandel from, you know, just white Zinfandel and basic, you know. Rosés are some of them are drier, some of them are a little bit minerally, some of them are well-rounded than others. So I would suggest doing that for maybe your first cup, or even for dinner. You know, if you're doing maybe a gefilte fish, I would definitely do the goose bay. Yeah, I think it will be something interesting. For dinner, I would just stick with red. I really would. And for dinner, you know, if you're doing like a nice roast, I would definitely do a Merlot Syrah. Even actually City Winery, for the record, they just came out with a Cap Franc. It's a great Cap Franc. It's a very deep and earthy. And I love my earthy wines. I really do. They also have a great Petit Verdot. So, I mean, so far I've sold about maybe 12 cases of Petit Verdot, and that is $34.95. And it's a really, really good buy. I really do think so.
Now, at the last Kosher Food and Wine Extravaganza, I noticed a resurgence of French wines. Okay. What do you have in decent French wines?
In a good French wine, the Chateau Lacroix, which is $24.95. I believe it's a mid-doc, but I would suggest doing that. I have not had the new Chateau Léoville, and I hope I will. I think a good inexpensive French wine is the Chateau Complet. You can drink that, you know, right off the bat for your first cup because it's a good light medium bodied one, you know. And what else? I love the L'Amour Côte d'Aron. Côte d'Aron is one of my favorites. If you want to do a little bit higher, I would suggest the Chateau of the Pop. There's two out there. One is the, I think it's called the Dominique one from David. I think I shared that with you last year, remember?
Yes, you did.
I'm a big fan of that, and you know what I really wish is if the Recanati Marcellin was back in. So Marcellin is actually it's a hybrid. It's from Cab and Grenache, and if I had a bottle, I would actually bring it with me, and I would crack it open at the hotel because I would love to get that in people's hands.
Okay. And we're just about out of time, which is unfortunate because there is so many more questions I wanted to ask you. I guess we'll have to close, but we'll have to do this again soon, discussing more wine.
Okay.
So I want to thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for
my
having
pleasure.
Me.
My pleasure. It was fun having you on the program. Thank you, Michael. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, one and all, and good night.
All right, take care, Chaim. Thank you. Bye.
Good night.
Good night, Chaim. Bye.
Bye-bye.